If you want to read with me, we'll read just a little bit here. In the 12th chapter it is of St. Luke, in the 22nd verse. Tell you what, let's back up just a little bit because there's something here that I'd like to get over, and I'll have to start in the 13th verse of the 12th chapter, the book of St. Luke. And one of the companies said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And I'd like for you to listen real close to what we're reading. And I want you to think of Jesus. And when you think of Jesus, I want you to think of him not as the way that you have him defined in your understanding. You know, a lot of people define the Lord in their understanding as a certain way and a certain thing because of their early tutoring in life or of their feelings. But let's bypass all of that. And just take God's word and the description of Jesus in God's word, in that he is so clearly described or told about in the word of God. And let's see what kind of person he is from message to message. Let's sum him up in our mind as what kind of person he is. And then let's try to conform to the image of God's son. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, that is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your light burning. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Now, just reading this much, we are able to get some idea of what kind of man Jesus is. The way that he thinks, the way that he plans, the way that he does things. You would say, Brother Pike, not the way that he thinks, not the way that he plans, not the way that he does things, but the way that he did think and the way he did do things when he was in this world. No, that's not right. It's the way that he thinks, the way he does things, because Jesus is still in this world. Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and Jesus is living in my life and in your life and any person's life that will receive him and let him operate in their life or do things in their life. So then we're not talking about a has-been. We're not talking about some great man that has done things in the past or some great person that's done a lot in the world and then went on. But we're talking about Jesus, the resurrected Christ, the ever-living one that is continually doing things all the time. A man asked Jesus. He said, Jesus, he said, I would like for you to make my brother divide an inheritance with me. I'd like for you to counsel with us and tell him that he's wrong, that he needs to divide what he has. I'm sure that Jesus felt that the brother ought to divide. I believe that. I believe that because that's the kind of a person Jesus is. He wanted people to divide when he was here in his human body. Today he still wants people to divide and to share. And I'm sure that his feelings was that the brother should divide his inheritance. But Jesus wanted to offset the man's thinking. He wasn't cruel, he wasn't negligent, he wasn't unconcerned. I believe that he was greatly concerned about the man's substance because he knew that the man was in this life and the man had to have a living and the man had to have worldly convenience and comforts. But Jesus wanted him to know that there is something that's so far greater than the earthly substance. God wants us to have the earthly substance, but he wants us to know that there is something so great, so far surpassing that, so superb in the sight of God. So then he offset the man's thinking. And he said, who made me a judge that I should divide or see that there is an inheritance is divided between you? Who made me a judge? Who called me to do that? Who told me to do that? And then Jesus spoke to him. And he said, let me give you a parable. Then he said, the grounds of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose shall those things be? He said to the man, he said, you see, you could have a great inheritance. Your brother can have a great inheritance. He said, but there is coming a day when you're going to give an account to God. And besides that, he said, life isn't very long down here. Life is very short. Termination of life comes quickly. And he said, if you gather all of these things, then whose are they going to be when you die? And what good are they going to do you? So then he got over his point to the man. I'm sure that after that, the man never asked him anymore to divide an inheritance. And I feel reasonably sure that everybody that heard Jesus answer him never came and said anything about money to him anymore when it come to worldly substance. Amen. He tells them here, he continues on with the parable and with his tutoring, and he says to them, he said, don't take any thought for what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't let your mind be occupied with those kind of things. Don't take any thought for that. But he said, consider the lilies of the field. They don't sow, they don't spin. But he said, Solomon, in all of his riches and power and glory and majesty, was never arrayed like one of these lilies. And he said, consider the grass that is out in the field, referring to the wheat. He said, today you see it in the field. Tomorrow, he said, it's cast into the oven. God is the provider. Consider the little birds, he said, just a little sparrow. He said, and just one little sparrow won't fall to the ground without God noticing that sparrow. God watching over you and I. And he said, if God so watches over you, or you and I, in such a way, why then should we trouble our minds or keep our minds on the things of this world when we ourselves don't have the ability to add one cubit to our height? That I can't add one inch to my stature. I can't make myself any taller whatsoever. He said, seeing that you can't do this, he said, and that is considered a little thing with God, he said, then why take thought for all of these other things? Why not trust God with it? See, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, right there is where I can tell that God doesn't want a man going out here working on a job. Right there is where the devil messed your thinking up and got you off track, because that isn't what Jesus is saying at all. You say, well, he makes it very clearly that we should not go work. We should not do anything. We should not build a house. We should not plant a vineyard. We should not do anything. That God is going to make all the provisions. Jesus isn't saying that at all. As a matter of fact, that's contrary to the word of God. The Bible said, line upon line and precept upon precept, as you have had a will, have a performance. And the Bible tells us the labor that we might have to give. How are we going to have, if we don't labor, how are we going to have? Labor that you might have to give. But Jesus is trying to tell us that we should never put our confidence in the substance of this world. Our faith and confidence should never be in our vintage. It should never be in the planting of our fields. Because what if one year we don't get any harvest and we're depending on the harvest? What then are we going to do? It should never be in the building business. It should never be in the painting business. It should never be in the electrical business. It should never be in any kind of business in the world. Whatever it might be, in the banking business or with doctors or lawyers or whatever, we should never have confidence there or put confidence there. That is what Jesus is trying to tell us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and then all of these things will be added unto you. All of these things will be added unto you. Let's look with the kingdom of God. Let's look with the things of God. Let's keep our mind preoccupied with Jesus. I find such great, wonderful blessings in my heart, in my life, just by thinking about Jesus. I say it so often. I think about him in the morning. I think about him during the noonday. I think about him over in the late evening. I think about him at night. If I wake up in the middle of the night, I think about Jesus. All day long, I'm thinking about Jesus. And I can't think of a better thing for me to think about. I just love to think about Jesus. It's so sweet. The Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. If I keep my mind stayed on Christ, then I have perfect peace. I have noticed in my own life that it's only when my thoughts begin to deviate or move off of Jesus that I feel a troubling spirit. As long as I don't let my mind drift off on anything else, I feel the presence of God, I feel peace, I feel faith, I feel happiness, I feel confidence, and I don't have any problem whatsoever. But I can just let my thoughts drift off just a few minutes from Christ Jesus, and troubling thoughts begin to come. All kind of thoughts begin to trouble my mind. Thoughts about this and thoughts about that and thoughts about things of tomorrow and thoughts about things of the past. Fears and frustration, all kind of things begin to crowd my mind. So then I find that when I keep my mind stayed on the Word of God, then I have perfect peace. Everything is so wonderful. Everything is so beautiful. And I just feel good all the day long. If I stay up late, I feel good. If I go to bed early, I still feel good if I think about Jesus. But if I don't think about Jesus, whether I go to bed early or late, I feel like a miserable wretch. All right, so he said, why is it that you take so much thought about the materialistic side of life? Now, so Brother Pike, isn't that what you're doing? You're building buildings. Isn't that the materialistic side of life? It is true that that is the materialistic side of life. But I am trying my very best to do something under the ingenuity of Christ. I am thinking about buildings in the terms of having a church just like we have here. There is no commercial appeal to this. There is no fleshly benefit to this. This is for Christ Jesus and Christ His people. This is for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Amen. You say, well, if God isn't interested in the materialistic side of life, then he doesn't want any buildings. But see, that isn't true. Because a man come to Jesus one time, asked Jesus for a favor. The other said, Lord, said, do it for him. Said, he's a good man. Said, he built us a church. Now you say, well, people don't believe that you're a good man if you build a church. People are watching you. I know some of you, all you ever listen to is the critics. Like the vision I saw here a while back, some of you have your ears full of gravel and your mouth full of gravel and sand. But some people are saying things different. All you hear is the critics. But I'm listening for the true sound. Hallelujah. I'm listening for the true sound of the trumpet. That's a perverted sound of the trumpet that you're listening to. And that's all your mind feeds off of, is the brothers are guilty of this and the sisters are guilty of that. When the brothers ain't guilty of nothing, the sisters are not guilty of anything, you can't find one member of the body of Jesus Christ that is guilty of anything. You've got false brethren and hypocrites and spots and blemishes that the devil keeps your mind on. But it's just like the man that owns the property here adjoining Little Bethlehem. Back over here, Mr. Backus, a very fine man, a man of great reputation, a man that when he says something, it does something to me because I have respect for the man. The man has a good name. I don't have any respect for some of these fly-by-nights that's just got a little shop on the corner that's trying to get a dollar, always criticizing somebody. I don't need their help. But men of integrity, I have great respect for in what they think and what they say. And just like that man over there, he came out to the gates one day and he said, you know, he said, you've done a good thing. He said, I've done differently with my money. I've done differently with my land. He said, but you're doing a good thing with yours. See, it caught his eyes. It caught his eyes. He admires the people over here. He made the statement the other day with his big, beautiful brick home over here. He said, Brother Pike is making my place look bad over here. He said, to keep it so nice and clean over at Little Bethlehem. That's the kind of reports that we ought to hear. Something that's virtuous. The Bible said if anything have any virtue in them, think on those kind of things. So then building in the material realms, if it's for Christ, it could be a good thing. Is that right? Noah built an ark. He built it for Christ. It was a good thing because it was for the salvation of that day or the saving of the souls and the bodies of the people. All right, so then God doesn't want us to sit down and do nothing. God wants people that are industrious, people that will do something, people that will get up and be about the Father's business. I just don't understand how some folks can just sit and eat and drink and sit and eat and drink and gossip and backbite and find fault and exchange conversation that's not worth the time that they take to say it. How in the world do they do that? It's a wonder if the man don't leave the women with black eyes all the time and the hair pulled out and scratches and everything else like a bunch of dogs and cats. Anybody that keeps their mind on them kind of things look to me like they go start raving crazy. Let's think about God. Hallelujah. Think about doing something for Jesus. Let's keep our minds on something holy and something virtuous. Keep a vision in mind. I like what my brother Junior said last night. He was talking to me and he said, you know, he said, building my home doesn't thrill me, brother. He said, that doesn't thrill me. He said, I'd love to have a nice home and that kind of thing. He said, but that doesn't thrill me. He said, but what does thrill me is to think that when I get this home built, I'll build another one, and then I'll be back in the building business as before, and I'll be making money, and every house I can divide it with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and win souls. So that thrills me. Brethren, that's the right attitude. If you don't have that attitude, there's something wrong with you. You've got your channels all stopped up, as I said, with the gravel and with the sand. God will never do anything with you because all of your ambitions is personal and your motives are selfish. And God will never do anything with you because he needs an open channel that he can reach out through that and do something for somebody else. I'm a firm believer that many men through life, down through the ages, have missed many multiplied blessings, millions of dollars that God would have given them, outstanding places of prestige, all because they couldn't keep the channel clean or clear here. Always they go back in their minds, they go back to that old selfish pack rat way of life. That old selfish thing where they want to get everything for themselves and do nothing for anybody else. And because of that, they become all stopped up. And God can't flow through them. But the waters of life, when you get to where it'll just flow through you and everybody can get a drink out of it. God will magnify you and magnify you and magnify you. And you'll have 10 times 10 what your neighbor has and still be given to the world. Whereas the terms of use, my cup runs over. And because thou hast loved righteousness, the Lord thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. If the young boys and girls that are here this morning, if they could look at daddy and mother, and they just say, wait a minute, what's my daddy ever done? What's my mother ever done? Make a living? Sure. Get by? Yes. Pay the bills. But what have they ever done? What kind of life is that? What have they ever amounted to in life? And look at it and say, now, I'm not going to be critical of them. I thank God for everything they've ever done. I appreciate them taking care of me. But God, my life is not going to be wasted. I'm going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe what the preacher's saying, and I'm going to apply that to my life, and I'm going to utilize my ability in God, and I'm going to take that challenge, and I'm going to see if God will do for me what Brother Pike says he will do. I promise you, in the name of the Lord, he'll do it. God hath no respect to person. Every individual to God is the same. God loves you just as much as he loves me or loves anybody. And God wants to do great and mighty things maybe with you that would surmount mine far, far above. But you've got to give him a chance. As long as you have that old selfish motive of just wanting to drift because you want to drift. You say, God told me to do this when God hasn't told you anything. You say, God told me to do this, and so you drift over here to this place and you drift over here to this place when God hasn't told you one thing concerning that. But your desire, your ambition, your motive, your personal selfishness is motivating your life and taking you wherever, just any place. Like last night, Cynthia and Raph was up at some place and they heard a preacher preaching, and Raph was relating it to me, telling me about it. He said, Brother Pike, said the man was talking, I believe it was Raph, and one of them said the man was talking about we shouldn't never offend people. We shouldn't never say anything to get them out of sauce. We shouldn't never condemn them. And he went on and said, this is the one thing that we ought to be like, you know, and another thing is to give. And I thought, what a cunning, crafty devil. A cunning, crafty devil. That's what it was. It wasn't Ralph, it was Mike that told me. Now, what is that? I come in here, I say, you know, now let's don't never say nothing, Brother Pike, that's going to hurt anybody's feelings. It don't matter if they waller in the hog pens. It don't matter if slop's running out at both ears of the evil things of life. Somebody said, now you don't have to say it like that. Okay, we'll say the mire. The Bible calls it mire. Maybe that's more professional. All right, then Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Keep them in good shape for the offering. That cunning, crafty devil that has robbed and stole the souls of humanity. I said, but what about the superscription? He said, that's Caesar's, that belongs to Caesar. I seek the kingdom of God and God will take care of me. Fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I won't just give you a little of this or a little of that. I'll give you everything. I'll give you health and happiness and life eternal to go with it so that you can enjoy it. Somebody said, well, he isn't going to give you the world. Yes, he will. The Bible said, God so loved the world that he created it that I might enjoy it. And the Bible said he created it to be inhabited. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to redeem the world from its fallen condition, its depraved condition, that I might enjoy it and dwell in it forever. But folks, listen. A lot of times we use the terms first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, which is really dimensional stages of Christian living that we pass through. God wants us to have the things of this world that are carnal. Paul said, if I preach to you the gospel or I give you spiritual things, don't I have a right to reap of your carnal things? What would Paul want with carnal things? He made the statement, he said, to be carnally minded is death. Paul, what do you want with it? You told them to be carnally minded is death, but now you say you want it. Paul didn't say carnal things was death, did he? Carnal things isn't death. If carnal things is death, then God set us right in the midst of death. Somebody will say, so that's what this world is. Death and God set us right in the midst of it. That's not true at all. God loved the world. God doesn't love death. The Bible said death is God's enemy. God hates it. We've got to differentiate between the world and between death. God made the world. He loves the world. It's his creation. Could God create a tree and it be death? Could God create a human being to be death? God loves the things of this world. He loves them. He made them. He made them for you and for me. Amen. Now, his love for the world or the things of the world, and I'm saying the things that God created, for this world, that love is toward you and I. God made the beautiful shade tree that on a hot summer day you can sit under it, drink a cold glass of water from the rippling streams. What's death about that? God made the earth so that you can till it, plant fruit in it, see it grow up, see your little children go over and pull a pear off of a tree, a beautiful orange, how beautiful, how wonderful, and see its little eyes light up as it bites down on it. That's life. That's not death, that's life. But see, the poison is in the pot. The poison is in the pot. The prophet said there's poison in the pot. There's death in the pot. And the only thing that'll take it out is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Said Moab, you're my pot. You're my wash pot. Let's purge and cleanse by the washing of regeneration. Let's kindle the fire as grandma used to do under the old pot. Praise God. It might be black and sooty on the outside, but on the inside, grandma has washed and scrubbed and boiled until that thing is as clean as it can be. You can eat out of it. A lot of times they made the chitlins in it. The Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So then God wants us to be filled with life. Hallelujah. Be a brotherhood. Stand together. Praise God for something. Not be selfish. Not draw after ourselves. It's like Ted, they need a well over there. We got them a well, but they still need the thing fixed. They need a pump. How? We can be selfish. We can say, well, that ain't my problem. That's Ted's problem. That's Ted's problem. I've got my few dollars in the bank, and I'm gonna sit up here, and Ted can do without. Now listen to me. The others can do without. And then in the day of judgment, You walk up and you think you've done so good. And God will say to you, but what about the members of the body of Christ? Day after day after day of inconvenience. But you know the old hypocrite, he's got an answer. I work for my money. I got mine the hard way. Let him do the same. But a lot of times we overlook the fact that men like Ted worked too. They had a home paid for. They sold the home. Gave a few thousand dollars at one time to God out of their offerings. What are you going to do about that? Then they come to cast a lot with us. They work with us. They're a member of the body. See, thou art inexcusable in the day of judgment. Somebody say, well, that's their problem. I think we ought to keep a little on the side. I think you're wrong. The Bible said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Now somebody would say, well, if that's the way it is, Brother Pike, then I don't want any part of it. Well, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. If Brother Pike can lay up thousands of dollars in the bank, wow. Brother Harley sells his home to support the gospel. Brother Ted sells his home to support the gospel. Then Brother Pike will go to hell. He ought to be in hell. Anybody that would do that knowing what I know. Now, God is no respecter of person. We need a brotherhood. I want a brotherhood. God wants a brotherhood. He made this world for you and your little ones. He doesn't want to see you jammed up and crash out on the highway and your blood flowing out on the highway and little babies just crying and screaming, little arms broken up. God doesn't want that. God didn't instigate that. Death came by man. Suffering came by man. God so loved us that he came down here and created himself a body to take all the suffering, all the heartaches, all the problems so that he could eradicate it from the midst of the people, take the sufferings himself. But we, even after all of that, we go around in unbelief and don't even have enough confidence in the love of God to accept it in our behalf or tell others about the good tidings of great joy. All right, what kind of man is Jesus? He went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is the Spirit. God is with me. God is with you. According to our measure of faith, according to that which we can grasp, we should be doing good and contending for the faith to grow bigger and greater in God. All the time. Brethren, why take something in the way of your substance that could be utilized for the glory of God and lay it away and then die and leave it that somebody else will get it when you could invest it here and draw dividends on the other side? Why? Why just squander away my time when my time is valuable? My time is valuable. I need to pray. I need to fast. I need to study. I need to give myself to doing something for God and not be idle day after day. But I need to accomplish a purpose or something in my life. You need to do that as well as I do. And we need to link together as a brotherhood to do it. You say, well, Brother Pike, if I give everything I have, then why there's such a great, tremendous need, that still go right on like nothing had ever been given. I know, but you'd be done what you could do. That's what's important. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Amen. God made it great. Like the ocean, he made it big enough for your boat and my boat too, didn't he? And for Brother Taylor to sail a ship on it too. Made it big. He didn't have to make it that way. He made it that way so that everybody can pour into it. Pour into it. And pour into it that makes sure that there's always room for somebody else. All right. The rich young ruler turned away sorrowful. I like your program. I like your plan. Don't find any fault with your stipulations. But when you come down to that, that is a different story. Now, I don't mind sharing, somebody would say, as long as we don't get overboard with this thing. Now somebody would say, let's hold our composure. Let's don't get overboard, Brother Pike. Let's just don't get to where we want to pray all the time and fast all the time and talk about this Jesus all the time and just give everything. Let's don't get like that. Let's do get like that. Amen. That's the way I want to get. Lord of God, if it ain't good enough to do that, then let's leave it alone. Let's get in something we can enjoy. If I was going to get out in the middle or out in the ocean, you know, where the tide was coming in, I wouldn't want to get out there and stick my foot in it, you know, and wiggle my toes and stand there. I want to get out there and just fall headlong right down, just splatter and splash. That's what I believe in doing things. If somebody brought a big cherry pie and set it on my table, I wouldn't want to go over and cut the corner off and take a little bite of it. I'd just stand right there till I could persuade Betty or catch her head turned, and I'd cut me a big chunk of it. And I'd be eating on it. That's the way I believe it. And if that didn't satisfy me, if I could turn around the corner and get another chunk, I'd get another chunk of it. I feel like that's the way we ought to do, brethren. This is a great thing. Let's get us a big chunk of it. Let's do something for God. This is the wedding supper. God's cutting the cake for everybody. You know, just a nibble. God, give me all I can carry. And then give me strength to carry some more. That's what I believe it, Brother Gary. Hallelujah. I believe Gary believes it like that too. Tell Louise grinning. But I believe, brethren, that this is a great life. When God, it's real life. Without God, it's death. But I believe this is a great life. Here the earth is for us to enjoy. The trees and the streams and the birds. See, like first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. God wants us to get spiritual first. And then with that, God will add the benefits of the physical man. See, bring us to a second heaven. Then the next thing, we go on with God, God will add the redemption of the body. The third heaven. Really, that isn't the way it is. Because it's body, soul, and spirit. And the spirit's a third heaven. But I mean according to the reward of the old outer man. He's interested in the material side. So then step by step, God wants to give you everything. But you must do it after his fashion and his order. He wants you to have it. But brethren, if you go around the other way and you try to get the natural first and don't seek the kingdom, you're going to wind up with the curse because it's got to be purged. It's got to go through the fire. Get the Spirit of God. Seek the kingdom of God. Go with Christ. Get clean, clean and holy. And then behold, all things are clean unto you when you give of that which you have. And God will run it through the process of the fire. And after a while, you'll have every bit of it. Health, spiritual competent peace, happiness, natural substance, tangible matter all around to enjoy. It's all yours just for the asking. But you got to do it his way. I want you to stand with me. Don't ever at any time, never at any time, let God tell or let Satan tell you that God don't want you to have the very best. He does. The very best. Somebody would say, well, now, Brother Pike, if it come to shoes, and I paid $300 for shoes, I just don't feel like God would want me to have that. Don't you know that $300 shoes in God's classification ain't as good as filthy rags? God gave you the body of his own son, Jesus. What is that to be compared with $300 shoes or a Cadillac? A Cadillac's a junk heap when it comes to the things of God. See, I say that for this reason. It may sound foolish to you, but it gets over my point. I want you to know by that God wants you to have something 10 times 10 better than the best that life can afford in this world. He went to Calvary so you could have it. So anything else is secondary matter. He wants you to have it. But I believe in my heart, when a person is willing to let another man wear the expensive shoes or the expensive clothes, or drive the expensive car, whatever it might be, when he is willing to do that and take the less that he might share the substance with others, that God has for him a greater reward. Not only that, but down the road, he'll give him all of that plus. All of that plus. No man has left wife or family, home, land in this life, but what he won't receive 100-fold in this life right here. Not in the world to come, in this life right here. I'll give you 100-fold because you did that. And then in the world to come, I'll give you life everlasting. You believe it? Hallelujah. All right, we love you and we appreciate you. We thank the Lord for every one of you. And I hope you can enjoy life. I hope you can be healthy and happy and just don't ever be oppressed. Don't be ever, you don't ever be cast down. Don't be under pressure. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful that something's going to happen to you. That's the devil's way of causing your thinking to be wrong. And you get to believing wrong, and you draw all of those ill winds of ill favor in. But see, think about Jesus. What kind of person he is, his desire, what he wants for you. How he created you, how he made your appetites, how he made everything for you. And the only problem is that middle wall of petition that you yourself give place to. The Bible said your sins have held you back from good things. You yourself have separated yourself by the middle wall of petition. You don't let your heart be troubled. You don't let your heart be afraid. Isn't that what Jesus said? You ask, and whatever you ask, you can have. You say, how can I do that, Brother Mike? How can I keep my heart from being troubled? By believing. Simply believing. Whatever God said in your behalf, that's what it is. And all things are said to be in your behalf as good because you love Jesus. All right. So then let's don't let the devil tell us anything. Let's listen to the voice of God. Let's eradicate forever the evil and put the shadows behind us and go on for Jesus. That's the way that it ought to be. And if we do that, we'll have a wonderful, wonderful life. Wonderful, wonderful fellowship. And all of our substance will be dedicated to God. All of our activities, plans will be for Jesus. And how happy we'll be. Brother Taylor sings that little song, when we all get together, when we all pull together, how happy we'll be. Your work will be my work, and my work will be your work, and our work will be God's work, and we'll all pull together. Hallelujah. How happy we'll be. So then let's pull together. If you don't agree with something that Brother Pike is doing, whether it's building buildings or printing literature or whatever, come down to the men's meeting. Have a backbone and stand up and say, Brother Pike, I love you. I don't want to offend you, but brother, I believe you're out of the scripture. I don't believe that's right. And somebody said, well, if I told you that, you wouldn't believe it. No, I wouldn't believe it because I know I ain't out of the scripture. But you can still say it. It'll make you feel better. See? Now, but I tell you one thing. If you ever hit a place where I am out of the scripture and you can show it, I'll guarantee that Brother Pike will believe you and he'll do just exactly what you say. But the other, it isn't going to do you any good as far as me doing what you say. Just because you got an idea or feeling and you're so sure that you're right and I'm wrong. But now if you can take this and show me and you stand up and say, Brother Pike, I love you, but you're out of the scripture. I can show you right here it says such and such and such. You can show me that. Put it line upon line, precept upon precept. I'll take it and I'll say, my brother, God bless you because I was blinded to it. I was doing my best. I thought, and here I was in error, and you helped me to get my eyes open, and I praise God for you. But just because you got a brainstorm, I ain't want to have no storm over my place. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I notice in the 12th chapter, the first verse, so there were gathered together the multitude of the people, innumerable. That's what we need today, is a gathering together of the people, innumerable. So many. Abraham, I will make thy seed as the sands of the seashore, innumerable. And God said, as the multitude of the stars, I will make your seed. That's the way it ought to be. I believe this way. I think this way. This is my inward makeup. This is my inward makeup. I think like that. I function like that. I believe in my heart that God is wanting me to be healthy and happy, and that he wants me to share that with others. But he doesn't want me to pervert the gospel and leave off the preaching of the judgments of Christ to them that willfully do wicked. That is, when they come to a knowledge of good, refuse to go on, but want to do wickedly, making allowance for their own selfish motives and purposes in life.